praise the Lord. Let's sing that song, When His Wounded Hand Touched Mine. The Lord bless each and every one, and we do give everyone a warm welcome into our service in the name of the Lord. Let's sing this a few times. Praise God. Before you this morning, in the name that thou hast sent far above every other name, the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is a privilege which is ours as the people of God. Hallelujah. That we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we would ask this morning that thou would cleanse us afresh. Amen. That thou would wash us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, that thou would sanctify us. Lord, that thou would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, we would ask that thou would come against the enemy of our soul. And all that's near and dear to us, we plead the merits of the blood and we rebuke the devil. Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ. Over every son, every daughter, husband and wives and all that's near and dear to each one in this house today. We rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the merits of the blood of Jesus. We plead the power of the blood of Jesus over their lives this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to that young man. Speak to that young woman in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we ask for the hands that's raised. Lord, you know every need. Lord, you said that we look once more to your holy promise. Lord, you look again from heaven and you'll hear us and you'll answer us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll answer this morning and meet the need. Lord Jesus, the financial need, the spiritual need, the physical need. Lord, that thou would grant the need name, I pray. Oh Lord, this morning have thy way in this meeting. Break the powers of darkness, I pray. Oh God, come in the power of the Holy Ghost and touch your hearts afresh in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I plead your blood upon Simon Peter, upon David, upon Timothy, upon my own son William, upon Naomi. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you'll touch every one of them in the name of the Lord this morning, and you'll heal them, Lord, and deliver them and raise them up in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I pray for the backslidden husband, for the backslidden wife, for the backslidden son, for the backslidden daughter, that the Spirit of the Lord will speak to them, that the Spirit of the Lord will move them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Oh, Father, this morning have thy way, O Lord. Come against the devil, I pray, through the power of your word. Lord, you said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against them. Raise a standard today, Lord, in this house. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Oh, God, stir our hearts, touch our hearts, fill our hearts, move our hearts, oh Lord, by the power of thy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost, and I thank you, you to undertake for me. Bless your word now, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord bless each one this morning. And we're turning to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And this is the 13th message from Daniel. I know it's hard to take it in. But it is, and we're not even halfway yet, and we haven't even got to the hard bits yet. Hopefully there'll be no hard bits of the Lord. Now, there's someone I've saw in this verse, chapter 6, and I just believe God showed me something and it blessed me. You might already have seen it. And I just want to share it with you this morning. And know this is really about Daniel in the lion's den. And we just want to thank the Lord. Also, just to say, we've almost 60 coming to the dinner next Saturday, 7 o'clock. And anyone else still wants to come, see Sister Sharon. And we're going to have a couple of brothers testifying and young women singing. And I'm looking forward to it. Praise God. And we just thank the Lord. And you know, me and John and Gary was coming out of service Wednesday night. And I was saying, you know, about different ones I might want you here and there. And Brother John says to me, you know, the brothers, there'll be invitations yet, something to that effect. The next day, a man rang me from England. It was unbelievable. And not only did he invite me, but he says, there's an open invitation. He says, you come, and I want you to come. And I'm surprised, I'll tell you. And he meant it, and he sends his greetings to the whole church. Praise God. And it just was the day after that. And God's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God. And also, we had the opportunity on Thursday night past to go to Markham Hill Christian Fellowship when I testified and young Nathan preached. And we just thank the Lord. And we believe God touched people. And we just thank the Lord for it. Also pray for us. I'm trying to get a stomper made. When I get the chance to the time for to stomp the tracks, you know, for our details here. And I'm going to get a load of tracks, and so that we can have tracks for to give out. And whether it's myself or others, at least if I have them here and you can tick them and give them out, and I can tick them and give them out, and we'll have our details on the back of it, and that's what I want to do. And we want to be on the move for God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's read, and it's quite nine verses of chapter 6. Praise God. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish the royal statutes and to make a firm decree that whomsoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So may be seated, praise God. They say here at this point in time that Daniel's about 90 years of age. So he's becoming an older man at this stage, and at this point, once again, he's promoted to the position of administrator this time in the kingdom of Darius the Medes. After the conquest of Babylon, King Darius had divided his kingdom into 120 provinces and appointed 120 satraps. Now, I might be pronouncing that name right. That word in your Bible, satraps, means governors. That's what that word actually means, satraps. It means governors. And there's 120 governors appointed to rule the province, setting their three administrators over the top, supervisors to collect all the royal revenue. So this place was massive. We've already saw it through our study. This is a massive kingdom. It's a massive affair. And among these three administrators, Daniel was probably the oldest. And Daniel, he had no worldly desires at all. His whole thing was serving God. And God promoted him. And we've saw already in the first five chapters how God continually promoted Daniel. How God continually kept Daniel. How God continually blessed Daniel. We've saw someone else as well. And we're going to see it again. Daniel's life and Daniel's integrity was a witness to King Nebuchadnezzar before him. And his life and integrity is also going to be a witness to this king. And our lives should be a testimony to the unsaved. Our lives should be a witness to all that we come in contact with. People should see Jesus in us. Without us preaching or saying anything to them, our lives should speak volumes. And Paul the Apostle says that our lives are written, epistles seen and read of all men. And Daniel's life was a reading in itself. It was a volume in itself. Daniel was a godly man. Daniel was a righteous man. And we know he prayed three times a day. He was honest, and as he served the king with integrity of heart, Darius grew greatly attached to Daniel. He loved Daniel. And he liked Daniel. And furthermore, though Daniel was old, he was inferior to none of these governors. And he excelled in every matter. So the king planned to set Daniel up over the whole kingdom. But not everyone was pleased with the king's plans here. And in verse 4 to 5, you read it. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Because God was promoting Daniel, and because Daniel had found favor before King Darius, these men were jealous. And it's hard to believe sometimes people could be jealous of you. But that's the way it was. They were jealous of Daniel. When somebody gets promoted, others can be jealous. But it is God that promotes men. It is God that blesses men. It is God that prospers men. And thank God for it. The two other administrators were jealous of Daniel. They probably complained. You know, they probably said, this young fellow's 90 years of age now, and no young person's getting the chance because he's favored. And the king likes him, and nobody else is getting the chance. This is what they could have probably said. But they made excuses before the king. They were jealous of Daniel. They thought he's an old fogey. Isn't that the way it is in the Bible? They thought that about Moses as well. And even Elisha, they called him old bald head. And the birds come out and ate them. You have to be careful what you say about God's man.
Amen.
I'm telling you. And Daniel was definitely God's man. Daniel, remember, was an exile, and they could have threw this up before the king. They could have said, this fellow's an exile. We're citizens of your kingdom. We belong here. He doesn't really belong here. And yet the Lord, you're favoring before us, and you're prospering him over us, and you see him above us, and yet with all, he's a foreigner. This is probably the language they used. And he was an exile, remember. So the two administrators conspired together against Daniel, and all the governors helped him, and they'd been watching Daniel closely, and had noticed he prayed 3 times daily without fail, opening the windows towards Jerusalem. Now you remember that, I'm going to come back to that later in the service. Why did he pray opening the window towards Jerusalem? There's something in that. But we'll come back to that in a moment. They conspired against him, and they watched him closely. It's not like the world. Wherever you are at work, wherever you are, people watch you. And they want the slightest wee thing. I thought you were saved.
Lord.
I thought you were a Christian. I thought you shouldn't have done this. I thought you shouldn't have done that. And the Bible says that they're an accuser of the brethren.
Glory.
Amen.
And that's the devil. And people want someone to accuse you by. They want to spoil your testimony. And you know what's all behind it? It's so that you're afraid to say anything for the Lord. It's to take the feet from under you. It's to leave you that you can't pray. It's to leave you that you're afraid to witness for Jesus. That's why the devil does it. And that's why he wants to accuse you. And thank God, we see in Daniel a great example here. The plot against Daniel. That's what this was. This was a plot against Daniel. Verse 6 to 9. These presidents and princes assembled together to the king. So they all gathered together. Daniel wasn't called. But they gathered together behind Daniel's back. They had a wee party behind his back. And they gathered a wee meeting behind his back to have, as the Indians call, a powwow. They were having a powwow all about Daniel. But they forgot that this is a Daniel that God could show dreams to, that God could show visions to. And the Bible talks about there's a man in the province that knows what the king does, even in his bedchamber. That's the God of Daniel.
Amen.
Daniel's God knows the secrets of every man
Lord.
And every woman. There's nothing hid from the eyes of the Lord. For the eyes of the Lord go to and fro through the whole earth, searching the hearts of those that's perfect
Amen.
Before him.
Amen.
And I tell you, that's the God Daniel served. You can read this in verse 9. And they got this king all worked up. And they said, you know, if you make a decree that nobody can ask the petition save to you, O king. And he thought this was good in one way. And for the Bible says, wherefore the king Darius, verse 9, signed the writing decree. The thing pleased Darius, for he thought that he would make the most of this opportunity to unify the whole empire. Establish discipline and elevate his own authority, so he consented to make it a decree and signed it with his royal ring so that it could not be changed. And you remember in the time of these kings when they did something, it couldn't be changed. And these men would have said to them, now you can't change this, because if you change this, the people will be against you and you'll have trouble in your kingdom. You're going to see that he was sorry he did do it, Darius, because he loved Daniel. And the two administrators who had seen this must have danced with joy. They were happy, weren't they? They thought they finally caught Daniel in a trap and they would soon win the confidence of the king. Of course, Daniel must have known all about it, and he did. He knew everything about it. No thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk upright before him. That's the word of God.
Amen.
No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk upright before him. And remember what Amos 3:7 says, the Lord thy God will do nothing except he first revealeth a secret on the servants of prophets. I heard a man saying, God's prophets don't see anything. Well, he mustn't have read this Bible. The Bible says God will do nothing except he first revealeth a secret unto his servants of prophets. So Daniel wasn't behind here, wet behind the ears. This man's 90. This is the Daniel that was with King Nebuchadnezzar, that saw the mighty hand of God, that interpreted this dream. Remember this same Daniel, and remember this book we're studying. It says in this book that it's not to be known to the last days. This is how powerful.
powerful this book is. This is a book that's only been to be known in these last days. I tell you, this is some book. This is why the devil hates this book. And I've hardly ever heard too many preaching on this book. But I just feel led to preach on it. Praise God. Daniel was well known for this matter. A candidate for the chief administrator of the king. That's what Daniel could not have been ignorant of what was happening. He knew exactly what was happening, and he knew the penalty, but he wasn't changing. Daniel was not changing his mind, even though he knew of a sign, even though he knew the penalty, he wasn't changing. And we must serve the Lord, no matter what he or she says about us, or what they think we are, or what they think we believe. They can blaspheme us, talk against us, but we must go on for God.
Amen.
There's no going back.
Glory.
We used to sing a song, "No Turning Back." I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Glory.
Daniel's faith was a disregarded pearl, and his faith was a great pearl. And it was a disregarded one. These men disregarded the faith of Daniel, and you're going to see that they paid for it. And we should never disregard true faith. Whether it's in a brother or whether it's in one of our sisters, we should never disregard true faith. True faith will stand the test of time.
Amen.
And Daniel had that true faith. And every one of us this morning must have that true faith. And I do believe you have that true faith. And the Word of God says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Not Prince Charlie's faith. Prince Charles talks about the faiths. Well, that's not ours. We have one faith. One God. One Lord. One baptism. One Spirit. And one true church. Thank God for this morning. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, and his chamber toward Jerusalem, wanted to see this. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Despite the threat of death, Daniel went home and he prayed 3 times. Daniel prayed 3 times because he had the writings of Jeremiah in his possession. And because Daniel had the writings of Jeremiah in his possession, Daniel was using and studying the writings of Jeremiah. And here's what Jeremiah said in chapter 29, verse 1 and verse 12. "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, unto the priests, unto the prophets, and to all the people, whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem." So he's writing to Daniel. He's actually writing to Daniel. Here, verse 12. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." So Daniel knew if he did what Jeremiah said, that God would do what Jeremiah said. And Jeremiah said, "If you call upon me, I'll answer you." And Daniel had read this, and Daniel was following Bible instructions. And when you follow Bible instructions, you're going to get the Bible blessing. That's the visitation of Almighty God. That's the protection of the angels of the Lord that campeth round about them that fear the Lord. Praise his name. I tell you, you want further proof for this. Daniel 9 verse 2. And Daniel 9 verse 2, here you are. "And in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years wherefore the word of the Lord come to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." Daniel was a student of the word of God. And every man of God must be a student of the word of God. Firstly, a student of the word of God. And you must read the word of God and study the word of God. For the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved, a minister that rightly divideth the word of God."
Amen.
Jesus said, "Search the scriptures."
Amen.
Praise God. And we must search the word of God.
Amen.
We're going to see also, I think you can see clearly, he's praying because he's been told to pray. But I want you to see someone else about Jerusalem and about the three times. The custom of praying towards the temple was adopted by Solomon. I want you to hear that 2 Chronicles 6, verse 34. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for my name, then hear thou from heaven. This is a prayer we often hear preachers even praying. Brother Branham often quotes this very scripture in his prayers. Once more, Lord, then you'll hear from heaven. You hear him saying it. And this is a prayer that Solomon prayed. Praise God. I tell you, isn't this wonderful? This is why he turned toward Jerusalem. This is why he went into his house and he got on his knees. He's following the instructions of Jeremiah that he's to pray and seek God, and God will hear. He's following the instructions of Solomon that Solomon said if he'll turn towards Jerusalem, to the temple of the Lord, to the house that God built, then God will hear you. Then God will answer you. Then God will deliver you. Then hear thou from heaven and their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. If thy sins against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with him, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto the land, far off or near. Is this Daniel? Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captives, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of the captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart, and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they've carried them captives, and pray toward the land which I give us unto the fathers, and toward the city which I have chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee. Isn't this something? This is why Daniel did this. Daniel was still in his heart believing. Remember, he's captive. Daniel was believing God would rescue him. Daniel was believing God would restore his people again to the chosen land. Thank God tonight, son. And I tell you, God cannot forget Israel lest he forgets his own hand. That's the word of God. Thank God for the word of God. This continued until the new instructions Christ gave to the Samaritan woman. Now we're no longer in the dispensation that they were in. We're in a new dispensation. And Jesus Christ came and he's given new instructions here, John chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place for men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh that when ye neither shall in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we don't set ourselves physically to Jerusalem of this earth today, but we set ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we must worship in spirit and truth. There's a rest for the people of God. That rest is called an eighth day, and there is no eighth day. And Paul explains it. He said it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you cease from your own works and you enter into God's rest. It's a rest that remaineth for the people of God. That's the preaching of Paul. It's so important to have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Gives you that rest from God. Isn't it wonderful how Daniel knew to do this? How Daniel had these writings. I think it's tremendous. Also Psalms 55, verse 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. This is what Daniel done.
Amen.
Daniel was following God's instructions. I want to tell you this morning, I don't care what difficulty you've been through. I don't care how hard a time you're having. If you follow the Lord's instructions, the Lord will save you. The Lord will deliver you.
Amen.
The Lord will bring you through.
Amen.
For the Lord says, I'll
end of the word.
Amen.
I thank God for Daniel. And I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we learn the secret of Daniel's consistency of life and testimony. If Daniel had departed just a little from his convictions, he could have avoided danger, but he wasn't willing to depart. The enemy will try to brainwash God's people. If you'll just compromise, you'll be all right. But God does not want compromisers. Like the old preacher said, don't bend the knee for nobody.
Amen.
Stand firm in what you believe.
Amen.
Say what you believe. Hold to what you believe, and God will bless you.
Amen.
I tell you, Daniel didn't compromise. He could have compromised. He could have stopped his prayer meeting. It was only for 30 days, remember. This was only for a time, but he wasn't even willing to stop the prayer meeting for a short time. I want to say to you in this house this morning, the devil wants every prayer meeting stopped. And I want to say this, the only thing that's going to save Ulster this morning, it's not the military, it's not the gun, it's not the revolver. The only thing that will save Ulster is God's people praying and seeking God for a mighty visitation of God. That's the only thing that will save Ulster. Nothing else will save them. I don't care who you vote in or who you vote out, it will make no difference. It's men and women in prayer that will save Ulster. And I tell you, we need men and women praying. The prayer meeting should be the best meeting. The prayer meeting should be the meeting that you can't get a seat in. But it's the opposite. The prayer meetings are empty. And the churches are powerless. You say, I know churches are not, but nonsense. There's nothing happening today like happened on a day gone by. Because on a day gone by, people talk about, you couldn't get a seat at 3:30. But what about the prayer meetings you had then? What about you older ones that's even older than me? You can tell me, you can testify to the all-night prayer meetings I had. When men and women would gather and they'd pray all night, they couldn't get the meeting stopped. They'd pray through and the heavens opened and the glory of God come down.
Amen.
But this land's turned its back on God. It's turned its back on God and it's turned its back on God's laws. And it's brought in stuff and God's going to judge this country. I'm telling you, this country's running down the road for a united Ireland. That's what's happening, brothers and sisters. That's what's taking place. And we need to seek God for a mighty move of God. We need to seek God for a visitation from heaven. And God's people need to start praying. Play no more church, but pray for God to move. And Daniel's our example. Daniel's a man of prayer. Daniel's a man that set himself to seek God 3 times a day.
Amen.
Many times I regret myself. I do things and afterwards I'm sorry I've done it. I do actions, I'm sorry I've done it. I wish you'd just pray and not done nothing. And you said just pray, Brother Tom, yes.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't even need to say a word to somebody. Even if there's someone not right, something happening, sometimes you're better to say nothing and just pray. I tell you, prayer works. I know what I'm preaching about, that it's absolutely the truth. Prayer works.
Amen.
It worked for Daniel. I tell you, Daniel was something, wasn't he? 3 times a day. He could have stopped for a month, but he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't even stop for a month. He kept on praying.
Amen.
And I tell you, the devil wants God's people to stop praying. You can read books, you can read philosophies, you can read this, read that, read whatever you want. But the prayer is where the strength comes from. The prayer is where the power comes from.
Amen.
The prayer meeting.
Amen.
They were gathered in the upper room, all assembled praying when the power fell.
Amen.
They weren't gathered in a Bible college.
Amen.
Seeing what lectures they could learn. They were in a prayer meeting.
Amen.
Oh God, bring us back to prayer meetings. Prayer meetings we can't close. Prayer meetings that will go through the night. Prayer meetings for men and women will fall on their knees and weep before the throne of God. Prayer meetings like that will change things. Prayer meetings like that will bring God down. That's the type of prayer meetings we need. I tell you, Daniel, Wouldn't you love to have been in one of Daniel's prayer meetings? You remember in the last chapters we saw where he called his friends. When there was a trouble, he called his friends and he says, "We must pray."
Amen.
Isn't it great that you can call somebody and pray, "Brother, we have to pray." And even if you can't physically come together, you can send a message around and say, "Join with me in prayer." And people of God can pray. And God changes things. I thank the Lord for the times when we have prayed. And God has answered. Thank God for it. Daniel's secret. The opening of the windows towards Jerusalem was symbolic of Daniel's hope that someday the children of Israel would be able to return to the holy city. You can read it in Daniel 6 verse 12. "Then he came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or any within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den?" Then the king answered and said, "The thing is true. The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh this petition three times a day to God. Never come to you, king. Would you believe that them fathers never come to the Pope? And that's what it's like. They never went to the Archbishop. They were praying and they never asked nobody. Isn't that terrible?
Amen.
Thank God people can pray.
Glory.
And they need to ask nobody, only Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The administration knew that the king could not change the law without subverting his own authority and his nation's tradition. So they had him trapped into passing the death sentence on Daniel. They trapped him. And you read in verse 14, "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him." Then these three fellows come back again, for they thought the king was taking too long. They wanted Daniel executed, in other words, right away.
That's right.
I remember well when we were down at Moore Schoolhouse, and the fellow called me and he said, "You're going to have to go out of here. Somebody's got a track from your meetings. And the track from your meetings, we do not believe it." And he says, "Did you write the track?" And I says, "No, I never read it. But I says, one thing I want to tell you, I believe everything on it. Every word of it. I never read it, but I believe every word on that track." And he says, "Well, they have told me to put you out, and they wanted you out right away, but I asked you for more time. And we're going to put you out." And I said to him, "Well, I feel led to get out." And that surprised him. What else was I to do? The mother of the daughter of harlots,
right,
was what was at work, whether you believe it or not.
Right.
That's the Bible fact.
Right.
Blinded her all. Who do you think it is that blinds people on the truth on the water baptism, on the truth on Godhead? It's not God. God never blinded them. That's the enemy of God. You remember this here. You remember that a prophet in our day is saying that Billy Graham's message will blind the people to the truth. You say, "How could that be, brother?" Well, he said it. And Billy Graham was a good man, but at the last he sent people back to Rome. Back to the chapel. How could you be sent back to Rome when God delivers you, when God brings you out? How could you go back to the mother of harlots? To the abomination of the whole earth? You can't. The word of God says, "Come out from amongst her. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not, handle not the unclean thing."
Amen.
I tell you, it's a sad day, wasn't it? And we know the big man we often quote and mention, which said no all his life, then he changed his mind, said yes. That's the truth. Changed his mind and he said yes. And I know we've all, people say this and people say that. Well, I want to tell you what David Greeno said. In 1969, when he was coming into Ireland, he said there would be a time of bloodshed like never seen before. Then he said there would be a time of a false peace. And this, what we've had called the peace process, is a false peace.
You better believe it is. And you don't know the half of the stuff that's went on behind closed doors. But God does. And then he said there would be a time when trouble, when God would move. And the word of God says, those who be strong and know their God shall do exploits.
Amen. Amen.
Daniel knew his God here.
Amen.
And this king, he'd done everything. He was worried about this. He wasn't pleased. He'd done this. He'd tricked them and they trapped them. And he couldn't go back to his own words. And you read that here in verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. In other words, you can't change your old words. Come on. That's what they were saying. Not how it is. I tell you, someone, you think of the land we're living in. You think, they talk about democracy. And I don't want to mention the name, but you've heard them saying, we want equal rights, we want democracy. Yet when people voted for one thing, they've done the opposite. They've done the very opposite. Do you think if Rome was in control here in the morning, you would have the freedom you have? Don't kid yourself. You would not have the freedom you have. Already, they've brought in damnable laws already. Abortion, marrying. Women with women, men with men. Already, it started already. God's not pleased.
Amen.
And they all preach God's a God of love, but what about the God of wrath?
Amen.
What about the God of justice that must carry out his word? What about people when they spurned God's mercy for the last time, like they did in the days of Noah? Judgment came. Like they did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Judgment came. I tell you, it's a terrible day, isn't it? The king realized belatedly that an evil scheme had been hatched behind this decree. And he was deeply distressed. Now we must keep in mind that in those days, this couldn't be changed. Because if it say they'll conspire against you, king. If you don't keep your words, the whole thing, they'll conspire against you. You lost favor with the people. And remember also this, in the days we're preaching about here in the Bible, of these kings, life was as nothing. To chop somebody's head off was as nothing. To put somebody on the stocks was as nothing. To throw somebody into the lions was nothing. Life was cheap. Aren't you glad that every soul's precious to the Lord?
Amen.
God so loved the world
Amen. That
he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't forget verse 17. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Paul said it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. God wants to save all. But every man's a choice. Darius was determined to rescue Daniel, and he made every effort to sundown to save him. He probably, you know, went over all his decrees, went over everything he could do, went over all his writings to change it, but he couldn't do it. However, the accusers came to the king in a group and pressed him with a reminder that the law of the Medes and Persians couldn't be changed. They were more or less saying, if the king did not carry out the decree, he would have difficulty ruling over the kingdom. If you don't do it, the people won't follow you. And that's something. You better watch what you do. Huh? The man come to William Branham once and he said, William Branham, you better stop preaching the way you're preaching, because you're going to ruin your ministry bawling out them women and all them things. You know what William Branham said to him? He says, any scripture that ruins a ministry, that ministry ought to be ruined. That's what he told him. Anything the word of God ruins should be ruined. Never be afraid to preach the truth. Don't compromise. I'll tell you, you'll regret it later. And the way the king found himself, look, Daniel's faith tested. And I'm not going to get this finished this morning. I know I won't. And I won't try to finish it. Look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thy service continually, he will deliver thee. This king had been moved by Daniel's testimony. This king had watched Daniel as well as these other conspirators had watched him. Not only had he watched him, but this is the man that promoted him. Now we know God was ultimately behind it. But the king was the man who promoted Daniel. These fellows were stupid, really. They underestimated the God of Daniel. They underestimated the power of prayer. But Daniel did. Look, and they cast him into this, and they laid a stone over it, and they sealed it with a signet. And when the lords and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel, verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments, music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He was sorry it had happened. He was fasting. He was believing for Daniel that he didn't want to see Daniel killed. But he couldn't change his words. I want you to notice the love Darius has here for Daniel. Even the Hebrew king was ignorant of God and was so deeply moved with the integrity of Daniel's character and the firmness of his faith in God that he made confession of faith before Daniel in verse 16. Thy God will deliver you. Daniel's own life and testimony was a great witness before the king, just like it was before Nebuchadnezzar. Our life and testimony has to be a witness. Like the father once said, it might even have been a brother here, if the evidence is brought before us, whether we're Christians or not, will there be any? There has to be an evidence that we're saved. Our lives must testify of Jesus.
Amen.
Our experience must testify of Jesus. Our spirit must testify of Jesus. I'll tell you, Daniel's dead. I want you to see Daniel's protection, verse 19 to 23. And you can read it, I'll miss it for time's gone. At the first light of dawn, the king arose and hurried to the lion's den. First light. He wanted to see Daniel. He wanted to see how it was. He had prophesied in verse 16, but I don't believe he fully believed it because he was in shock when he saw Daniel. Though he hoped on the hand of God of Daniel had surely delivered him, his question showed that he could not quite believe it. Is all well, Daniel? How are you? I tell you, someone, you notice how Daniel answered him. Verse 22. Look at the respect Daniel shows still to this king. Look at the integrity of Daniel despite all that's happening. He didn't stick his chest out and what a tiny. And revile against me showed still respect. Verse 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him an innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Now his enemies are in big trouble. Now the whole thing's reversed. The scene's reversed. The persecutors of the brethren, now it's reversed. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord God will raise a standard up against him.
That's right.
These lions were fierce. Daniel was dropped down into these lions. They say in ancient time, they say it was down in the ground. They say that the keeper had a place underground that he could come into and feed the lions, but the lions couldn't get at him. Bit like Israel's foes, where they can feed them, but they can't get them. And I tell you, you know, I read of a story of a man and he trained lions. And he trained lions for years. And he done shows with lions and he could put his head in the lion's mouth and he could do all sorts of these stunts. And he done them for years. But one day he done it and the lion just closed his mouth and his head was gone. He couldn't trust the lion. And I tell you, Daniel is thrown into, and you're going to see these are live lions. In case some old boy would sit and make a mockery of the Bible and say, well, like the lions might have been quiet, or they might have been this, or they might have been that. You're going to see in the Word of God that the live, real lions and what they're capable of doing. Now, first of all, before we go to that, I want you to see this, the ascended angel. These same words would be echoed centuries later by Paul in Acts 27, verse 22 and 23. Paul was in a situation for nobody would perceive him, and Paul stands up in the boat and he says, "Be of good cheer, don't fear, not a life will be lost, for the angel of the Lord whom I am and whom I serve stood before me, and not a life will be lost."
Amen.
God has a habit, God has a way that he sends his mighty angel to rescue and deliver his people.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, the only thing that stopped them lions from eating Daniel was the angel of the Lord. The angel stopped them. And whether the angel stood in front of them, or whether the angel took his finger and pointed to those lions, just like it's Barbara Woodhouse was the best. I remember, many of you young ones wouldn't remember Barbara Woodhouse. I remember she was someone else. She brought the choke chain in, and they imagine she'd done it now, they'd give her some less ridicule, wouldn't it? The choke chain on a dog. She educated them, I can tell you. And she gave them a hoop, you know, gave them a chain, and made them do what she told nature, sit. She had the way of sit. And the dog would sit down. But I tell you, just your mate, think of a glorious big angel. And he comes down into Daniel's lions, lions scraping and gnawing the teeth, and that angel just puts one finger up. I don't even believe he had to say a word. I believe them animals of God's creation would have knew it. And I believe they'd have sat like kittens. Not a squeak out of them. Don't even think about it. More or less, sit there and don't think about it. Don't even move. Don't even think of it. And they never dared move a whisker.
Amen.
The angel of deliverance.
Amen.
I tell you, you could preach a whole sermon about the angel of deliverance.
Amen.
What about the angel of Monza?
Amen.
What about the angel here in the book of Acts?
Amen.
I tell you, what about the angel that took the children of Israel over the Red Sea?
Amen.
Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant. God is still the same, Hebrews 13 and 8. Psalms 34, verse 5, when the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord and delivereth them.
Amen.
Judgment against Daniel's enemies, and I'm closing once I read it. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery over them and break all their bones in pieces, or they came at the bottom of the den. They smashed them in pieces. And I'm gonna close. It's 20 past. I'm not finished, but I'm gonna close. You can read Psalm 23 when you go home. Mark down Psalm 23, it's wonderful. The Lord's help and deliverance. I saw a film once of a man out in South Africa, they were hunting lions. And I'm not sure of the caliber of the guns. It might have been 45 or something. I don't know. But you fellas that know about that sort of thing know you need a powerful gun to shoot a lion. A wee rattle toy one wouldn't work. You need the real gun. And this fella had been taken out and he had no experience. He had paid them to take him out. And there he was with a gun. And the fella said, "Take the shot." But he was so nervous he didn't do it. And he missed the point of taking the shot, and the male, wasn't even the female, it was a male lion, and the male lion hit him. And you want to hear him squealing. And even before the lion put his teeth in him, and it was just the impact of a hit broke his bones. And the fellow quickly shot the lion, but in the time it hit him, and the time he shot it, that man was almost dead. Happened so fast. And I tell you, God sent his mighty angel down. And that's all he had to do. Don't even think he had to say a word. Don't even move. This is God's servant. And them same lions, without the angel, when these men were thrown in, they smashed and break their bones. You think of it. Think of this here now, brethren. Their wives and children as well.
And then people talk about a lovely, peaceful, lovely, gentle God. Think of that for a moment. This age will be the same. They claim they don't believe God, but yet when God does something, they blame God. Why did God do this? Why did God do that? I met an atheist several weeks ago, I told you. And a fellow said, you know, this fellow preaches too. He says to me, I'm an atheist. I says, are you really? And then he started telling me, why does God do this? Why does God do that? And I stopped him. And I said, just a minute. Did you not just tell me you were a dead? I says, well, you're not an atheist the way you're talking, because you're just blaming God.
Yes.
I says, how come you're blaming God and you don't believe God? I says, you must believe in him then. But he didn't like that.
Yes, yes.
That turned it all around. Let's stand our feet this morning. No matter what happens, no matter what's taking place, prayer. Many times I've acted without prayer and regretted it. And just like I showed in one of the other services, when there's a temper involved, you're better to pray. Pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. And the God of Daniel is still God. Let's bow our heads. Praise God. And if you want prayer this morning again, just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy. We thank you for the mighty angel of deliverance. Rescued your servant. Lord, we would humbly ask that you would camp around about us. Lord, that you would preserve our lives from the enemy. Lord, that you would preserve our children from the wiles of the enemy. Oh God, cover them with the blood of Jesus. Let the angel of the Lord be near that young man, that young woman. Save their souls, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Cover them with your precious blood. Father, bless and strengthen the hands raised and meet the need. Lord, for those that's been praying in secret, may you meet their need. For those, Lord, that's witnessing for you, whether out on the streets or to work or wherever, Lord, will you bless them, will you strengthen them? And I pray above all in this evil day that you'll protect them from all the wiles of the enemy. Father, bless the song leader, bless the deacons, bless the elders. Bless all your musicians. Bless the Sunday school leader. Bless the children. We thank you for the children. For saying their verses, Lord, for your word will not return void. Father, bless these meetings, I pray, and meet every need. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We pray this evening as we come again. Bless my dad as he opens your word this evening. And have your way in this house. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. God bless you. My dad be preaching this evening. God bless each one. Brother Gary.
Thank you. has loosed the seven, the book, the seals of the book. Lord, we thank the Lord Jesus Christ right now. And he has revealed. Lord, we thank the Lord Jesus Christ that thou alone art King. And we pray, Lord Jesus, this morning as we go from this place that your power and your spirit and your anointing will be upon us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, to help us, Lord. Lord, to meditate upon your word. And Lord, also, Lord, let us also reflect. Lord, let us be glad. God, as the days come by, many men and women for the testimony of Jesus Christ endured the flames. Many were burnt at the stake.
Yes,
and Lord, many women and men and many children, Lord, were fed to lambs and endured the wrath of men of this world that they might obtain a better resurrection.
Amen.
Lord, we're glad this morning that this is real. This love of God is real. Lord, people give their lives for it because they were certain and they were sure that thou art God. Lord, we know, Lord, that no sin shall go unpunished, Lord, upon the unbeliever. Lord God, every man will be held accountable for the actions they've done. Lord, every person, Lord, that stood and condemned every believer to die, he'll pay for it, Lord, for thou art the great judge. And Lord, Abraham said, will thou, the righteous judge of all the earth, not do the right thing? Lord God, we just pray, Lord God, that you'll help us to have an enduring spirit, Lord, to love you unto the end. Lord, to always walk upright before you. And to have no fear of man.
Amen.
And even should it be, Lord, even as Daniel, when he went ahead to pray, Lord, so let it be, that we will still speak the name of Jesus. Lord,
Amen.
That we'll still proclaim Lord. Your holy word.
Hallelujah.
Lord, that we'll magnify your name.
Hallelujah.
And instead of cursings, we'll magnify the Lord God in our workplace. Lord, in schools, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, for the children, help them to testify
Hallelujah.
Of you. Lord, when lies are spread abroad, Lord God, that they'll stand for the truth and not be ashamed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray, Lord God, that the name of Jesus Christ will always be on our lips. And
Amen.
As the psalmist David said, let thy praise be continually in our mouth we pray.
Amen.
Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us strength, Lord, to fight the battles ahead in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, to press the battle to the gate in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Let us not be slack, Lord, for Lord, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And indeed,
Amen.
The time is short.
Lord,
let us be focused on what's important. Lord God, to present the gospel that men and women may escape the flames of hell
Amen.
And be saved to the glorious kingdom.
Glory.
Lord, for this is why you came into the world. For your word declares that Christ Jesus came into this world to save
Amen.
Sinners. Lord, that's the main thing. That's the emphasis, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, help us, Lord, not to be well led, but Lord, help us, Lord, to be focused on what's important, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, thank you, Lord, that your word says, what should it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Lord God, we could have all the knowledge, we could have all the wisdom, but Lord, if we lost our soul, Lord, what would it matter? What would it count for? Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you'll impart unto us, Lord, the wisdom of the value of every man and every woman's soul. For indeed, Lord, every soul is precious in your sight. Pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll help us, Lord, to have a concern for our family members
yes,
who are not yet saved.
Jesus.
Lord, a conviction, Lord, even in our own
Amen.
Lives, to pray for them that's not able to
Amen.
Pray for themselves.
Right.
Lord, even as Job prayed for his sons and prayed for his daughters, lest they sinned against you. Lord Jesus, give us, Lord, the spirit of intercessory prayer. Even as we heard of Solomon's prayer this morning, how he made an intercessory prayer for your people, for by the Spirit of God he knew what would happen. And Lord, he prayed that the circumstance was covered, that when they were carried away captive, they could look again. And indeed, Lord, you brought them back to their land. Lord Jesus Christ, we know, Lord, that indeed you're coming again soon. Lord, indeed, you'll set up a new Jerusalem. Lord, where we are looking forward to that. Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ, we just ask you now, Lord, that as we go to our homes and go our separate
Hallelujah.
Ways, but to be with each and every one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring us back, Lord, this evening, Lord, to have fellowship with you once again and round your word in the lovely name of Jesus Christ we pray. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, for surely, Lord, it belongs to thee and no one else. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. 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 Praise. Just as we go then, we'll sing it.